WRKC is proud to present the fourth season of The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King students. We now present our 38th episode, The Misguided Matron.
I opened the door to my office for the first time in what felt to be a year. Really, it's only been about a week or so. After working on the Carisi case, I felt it was in my best interest to take it easy, kick my feet back, and the like. I hung up my trench coat and sat down at my desk, staring intently at the thick level of dust that had formed on top of it. Guess I was at the bar more than I realized.
About time you showed up.
Oh, hello, Deborah.
Oh, hello yourself.
You seem a little short today. Not that that's any different.
What?
Nothing. How was your week off? Go anywhere exciting? Acapulco, maybe?
No, Harry, I didn't go anyplace exciting. You know why?
Why?
Because you didn't tell me you were on vacation.
Huh?
I came into work each and every day you were gone. Oh, why piece together what had happened yesterday?
Deborah, I'm absolutely certain that I told you I was... Oh, wait. Whoops.
You're damn right, whoops. I'd be better getting paid for those days, Harry Flynn, or God help me, I'll leave so fast your head'll spin.
Oh, well, forgive me if you're a bit too slow to properly place things together, Miss Sullivan.
Oh, so now you're taking cracks at my breakup, huh?
Yeah, I'm taking cracks at your... Come in!
Excuse me, I heard you two arguing. I didn't mean to intrude. Are you Harry Flynn?
The woman who walked in made the gal of your dreams look like a 750-pound Chilean boar. She had long dark hair, ruby-red lips, and eyes that looked like two shimmering pools of caramel. The tiny red cocktail dress she had on left very little to the imagination, cutting just above her sultry legs. Who wants to know?
My name's Veronica Predadelli. I'm here on behalf of my husband.
Damn, of course. All the good ones are taken. And all the bad ones, well, the bad ones are taken too. I don't really know where I was going with this. You here on behalf of the hubby, eh? Does he want to know something? Do something or have something done for him?
I'm sorry?
Let me say it this way. Does he want me to do research for him? Does he want me to do something to someone else? Or is he in over his head and needs the help of a good PI?
The latter. Definitely the latter.
Too bad he's not a good PI.
Deborah.
Harry.
I'm sorry. If you and your lady are having a fight, then I could always...
Wait. You think she and I are... No. She's my secretary. Anyway, you were saying about your husband.
Oh, yes. Well, last night, he went to go visit his mother in her home on Green Street. Next thing I know, my husband's being charged for his own mother's murder. It's disgusting.
I see. How was their relationship?
As far as I knew, fine. He never said a bad word about her. In fact, he always told me he loved her. Actually, it was a little odd just how much he said he loved her. Made me feel awkward all the time.
All right. Do you think there was anything Oedipal going on?
Oedipal?
Well, an Oedipus complex is when you... I can't say it out loud. Come over here.
Oh, that's just disgusting!
Yeah, well, leave it to the Greeks.
I don't ever think it was that bad. But the point stands. There's just no way he could have killed her. He worshipped the ground she walked on.
Are you sure it wasn't a...
Yes.
All right. I'm just saying. Freud doesn't lie.
I'd like you to look into what all happened. Get some concrete evidence. Clear my husband's good name, Mr. Finn.
And what is that name exactly?
Garland.
Garland Predadelli?
Yep. Garland Predadelli.
Well, Veronica, I can tell you one thing. I doubt if Mrs. Predadelli loved her son as much as he loved her.
Why do you say that?
Because she named her child Garland. I drove up there as soon as our little tete-a-tete was over, but not before I received Veronica's phone number and address in the back of my detective's notebook. Hey, a man can hope. I pulled up to the house on Grain Street, an incredibly long old house, almost on the verge of disarray. I crossed the investigation line, much to the chagrin of one officer in particular.
Hey, you! You can't cross police lines with... Oh, hey, Harry, it's you.
Hey, Travis. What have we got here?
Oh, let me tell you, we got a pretty nasty case of matricide on our hands.
What do mattresses have to do with this?
What?
Well, mattresses. You said this was a case of matricide.
No, Harry, that means when you,
I know, Spinelli. I know. Just trying to lighten up the mood.
Oh. Well, we've got the perp down to the station if you'd like to go and talk to him.
Thanks, Spinelli. I'm going to poke around here a little first. That is, if you don't mind.
Yeah, certainly. No, go right ahead. I'm heading out. I'll see you at the precinct.
I walked in through the door at the front of the house and snooped around. The boys in blue had already done a lot for me. putting together a nice tabletop diorama of any and all things of interest from the house. I pulled out a pad and pencil and began writing what I saw. Exhibit A, the murder weapon, was an ornately crocheted pillow. Exhibit B, the wallet of Garland Predadelli. Exhibit C, shards of glass from a broken bedroom window. The exhibits went so on and so forth, right down to the jewelry that was found on the floor next to the bed. And, aside from the first two, there wasn't anything that was all that interesting. Afterwards, I let myself take a tour of the house, grabbing some bread and eats from the icebox. She don't need them anymore. When all was said and done, I packed up my notebook, headed back to my car, and dashed down to the precinct. I rushed back to the interrogation room to find that standard gang of justice upholders. D.A. Murdoch, Commissioner Rogers, and Officers Spinelli and Spumosa. This was the first time I got a good look at Garland Predadelli. He was a meek man, short, balding, and overall looked about as fearsome as a package of bologna. Murdoch and Rogers were standing idly by, while Spumosa and Spinelli were in the cage with Garland. I hung back with Murdoch and Rogers so as to get viable information for the case. Dates, times, you know, the like. Meanwhile, Spinelli and Spumosa were attempting to undergo some permutation of good cop, bad cop. Three guesses as to who was who.
I'm going to say this only one more time. What did you do with my typewriter?
Spumosa, come here.
Oh, okay. Why did you do what you did? What did he do again?
Matricide.
What do mattresses have to do with it?
Oh, okay, Spumosa, let's switch. You be good cop, I'll be bad cop.
Oakley doakley.
All right, Garland. We know what you did. You killed your mother in cold blood. People like you make me sick to my stomach. You know that?
Oh, good bad cop.
Thank you. You know, I just acted in a movie. I'm getting off track. Confess, and we can all go home early. If you don't, well, let's just say we'll go off the book.
Would you like a cookie or some sort of warm beverage?
Spumosa, what are you doing?
I'm being a good cop. We don't want to pressure you here.
You know, you don't have to say it with the same infliction as a bad cop. Just wait in the corner.
Look, I swear to God, I did not kill her. I loved her more than words can ever say.
Yeah, nothing says I love you like a hand-crocheted pillow to the face. Oh, what's the matter? The truth hurt too much?
No, it's just, I knitted her that pillow!
You didn't have to have a degree in criminology to know that this guy wasn't faking. Veronica was right. This poor schmuck loved his madre way too much to do that to her. With that in mind, I turned to face Murdoch and let him know that I didn't think this guy did it. Murdoch, I don't think this guy did it. He's a blubbering mama's boy.
Oh yes, he's a blubbering mama's boy. He's a blubbering mama's boy with prints all over all the important evidence.
Yeah, evidence.
But listen to him in there. He's not bluffing.
Flynn, you're letting yourself get carried away in this.
Jerk.
Besides, listen to him. He's not all that great.
Oh, God. Why? Why have you taken her from me?
That's amateur at best.
At best.
But I still stand
Look
by-
Look at the facts, Flynn. There's just no way he's not guilty.
Idiot.
We'll see. You plan on throwing the book at him?
The book, the novel, the libretto, you name it. Flynn, there's a special place in hell for people who would do something like this.
Well, you mind if I go and talk with him a bit?
Sure. I believe Spumosa and Spinelli are almost done with him. Oh, and Flynn?
Yeah?
Don't be sympathetic. Do your job and do it right.
Yeah. Jeez.
Even after all Murdoch said, I still couldn't help but think this poor putz wasn't guilty. He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. I walked in, dismissed Spumosa and Spinelli with a single look, pulled up a chair, and looked deep into the face of a man who may or may not have killed his own flesh and blood.
We'll return for the exciting conclusion of The Misguided Matron, but first, a word from our sponsor.
Hello, friends! Have you ever wanted to shirk off the harsh realities of this world, but you find yourself without enough money for booze? Have you considered neglecting your various chores and household activities? Talking to you, ladies, in order to massage the mind's eye? Well, have we got a product for you! From the mind behind Green Grows the Little Clovers on that grassy hill over there, and I sincerely hope that's not a bus, comes yet another immortal literary masterpiece. The small woodland creature house at the autumnal cycle's close. Here to read from it is the man himself, award-winning British novelist Sir Percival Garland Blithey.
Hey, Drudge Don, not knowing simple concepts such as love or feeling, all he knew was that everything he thought he knew, he didn't know.
Wow. Powerful. If you act now, you can order this brand new book for not $5, not $3, but for $17.82. And how could you pass up that offer with such stirring passages as...
Henry looked on as the gopher ran deep into the hole, deeper, deeper, until it was gone. Henry reflected on this, wondering where did the gopher go?
But don't take our word for it. Why don't you ask our reasonably satisfied customers?
Between cooking dinner and cleaning the house, I have little to no time of my own. Since my husband's too stingy to buy a radio, that time is spent in quiet resentment of my lot in life. But the small woodland creature howls at the autumnal cycle's close made me really evaluate who I was as a person. Now I make time for me.
I was under the impression that Sir Percival had ceased writing after that horrible incident in Geneva. You know the one I mean. But to find that not only is he writing again, but that it's of this caliber. Well, there must be a god, and we are in his utopia. The small woodland creature howls at the autumnal cycle's close is his best work to date. Sir Percival, I salute you.
I'm a literary critic, and I just can't stomach. And if you order now, we'll throw in one of Sir Percival's finest works. The little lump of quivering gel in the corner.
Hello, Governor. Sarah went to inspect the lump, but only found one thing upon arrival. Herself.
Amazing! Simply amazing! Call 1-800-CULTURE. That's 1-800-CULTURE. Not responsible for the condition of book or the quality of writing. Offer not valid in Milwaukee.
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
Hey, what's going on, guy?
Apparently I had been staring at Garland for about 3 straight minutes. It seemed to freak him out a bit.
You gonna ask me questions? What?
Yeah, I'll ask you a question. Come here.
Where did you meet your wife, and does she have a sister?
Is this relevant to the case?
Nope. Just wanted to break the ice. Now, let's see here, Mr. Predadelli. Where were you last night right around 8:30 p.m.?
Tending to my mother, obviously. Mommy!
Uh-huh. Now, the police had interviewed a neighbor of your mother's and said that at approximately 8:47 p.m., she heard a large amount of screaming, and 3 minutes afterwards, you ran out of the house. Is this correct?
That sounds about right.
Not looking too good for you, Garland. Want to explain yourself there?
Well, I was tending to Mommy until about 8:40-ish. Around then, I had to use the bathroom. Well, there isn't a pleasant way to say this, so I'll come right out with it. I take a rather long time in the restroom. When I came back out, she... No! Mama! No! Mama, no!
I understand this has been a traumatic ordeal for you, but please, sir.
All right. I'm sorry. Anyway... The window was broken open, and some of the jewelry was missing from my mother's bedside, so I figured robbers had done it. I ran outside, attempting to warn people of the robbers, and by the time I turned the corner, I was snout to snout with the police.
Now, our records show that the pillow you knitted had your prints on it. Pretty incriminating.
Maybe to the law enforcement types. For me, it was paying my last respects to my mother by removing the pillow from her angelic face.
All right. I just have one last question for you.
Okay.
So you, a meek-looking balding man with a bowel problem and something on the verge of an Oedipal complex, was able to marry the woman you married?
Yes. Yes, I was.
Where did you meet her?
At the Five and Dime. I was going to check out some knick-knacks, and we bumped into each other. We went out on a date that same night.
Okay, seriously. Does she have any sisters?
Flynn! You get what you needed?
Almost. You mean from him? Yeah.
Good. Spumosa, Spinelli, take him away, please.
Sure thing, DeMurdoch!
What was that?
Just tune her out, that's what I do.
The officers carried Garland out of the interrogation room, leaving Murdoch, Rogers, and myself to discuss the interview just conducted. I'm going to say it again. I don't think he did it.
You heard it yourself, Flynn. Garland's prints are on the pillow. For God's sake, he was in the house when the murder was committed.
Definitely an idiot, Flynn.
Normally, I'd side with you. But not only did he make the pillow himself, he could have fluffed it up for her before it all went down.
Sure, but then what about being in the building?
Have you been inside that house?
Personally, no.
then you have no real frame of reference on this one. Her house is huge. You could be two doors down from her bedroom and not hear a band playing in it, let alone the bathroom, which, coincidentally, is on the opposite side of the house.
Oh. Well, we can't just let him back on the streets. He's a possible murderer.
Yeah, Flynn. Murderer.
Well, what about innocent until proven guilty? We can't hold him indefinitely because he may have done something we object to morally. I thought you'd know that, Robert.
Flynn, let me tell you something. I hate it when you're right. Rogers, release Mr. Predadelli.
Whatever.
And before you could say Submariner of the Deepest Crater by Sir Percival Blythe, Garland was free. I watched with an admitted twinge of jealousy as he was reunited with the towering inferno of beauty that was his wife. The night still being fairly young, I made a quick jaunt over to Glenn's for an early evening nightcap. 7. Hey, Ben, could you give me another one of these? What is it called?
That's a beer, Harry. That's what most people order at a bar.
What kind of liquor goes into one of these?
It's not a mixed drink. It's just a beer.
Well, that is just fascinating. One more beer, please. And while you're at it, bring me the phone. I wasn't sauced. These beer things weren't hitting me anywhere nearly as hard as my usual drink fare, but I was starting to feel a little something. Enough to call up Veronica on a whim.
Hello, Predadelli residence. Veronica speaking.
Veronica, hello. This is Harry Flynn.
Oh.
I just wanted to call you up on a follow-up call, see if my service was adequate. You know the deal.
Oh, yes. It certainly was. Thank you ever so much.
Honey, who is it?
It's that private eye that got you out of jail, dear.
Ma'am, can I tell you something?
And what would that be?
I just don't understand how someone as gorgeous as you ended up with the balding mama's boy who has bathroom troubles.
Bathroom troubles? What do you mean?
Sorry. I didn't know you weren't aware.
No. Garland doesn't have bathroom troubles. Not at all, actually.
What did you just say? Come here, you little...
Oh, that's not good. Ben, I've gotta go. Could you do me a favor and just...
Put it on your tab. Got it.
I ran into my car and pulled out my piece as fast as possible. That one disgusting piece of information changed Garland's plausible excuse into an all but washed up work of fiction. I pulled up to a payphone that was on the way to the Predadelli residence. Should've just done this at Glenn's.
CCPD, Officer Travis Spinelli speaking.
Spinelli. I was wrong about Garland. He did it. And now I think his wife's in danger. I need backup to go to 453 Lulling Avenue, ASAP.
I'll see what I can do, Harry.
Quickly, I rushed over to the address Veronica had given me. It was on the other side of town, relative to where I was at the time. A plain white, low-income affair. I ran out of the car, piece in hand, and bounded up towards the door. Rah! As soon as I kicked the door in, I saw them. Garland had bound and gagged his own wife to a chair and was about to, as you'd say, finish the job. With a particularly menacing-looking meat cleaver. This was a different Garland Predadelli than I had seen at the interrogation. Hold it right there, Garland.
Figured you'd show up. That's what I get for trusting a no-good hussy like you.
Wait, he's stuck in the well? I'm sorry, this is no time for joking around. You're sick, Garland. Your own mother. Why? You said you loved her.
Oh, I loved her. I loved her so much, it's just that she didn't love me.
What are you talking about?
All the time growing up, she'd hit me. If I didn't do my homework right, she'd hit me. If I didn't make a sandwich right, she'd hit me. If I was sitting idly by, doodling on a piece of paper, she'd hit me. I was never good enough for her. I did everything I've ever done to try and make her love me. But it was all for nothing. Besides, she named me Garland. Who the hell does that?
Yeah, your wife and I had a similar conversation. But still, Garland. I understand you wanted her approval, but you didn't have to kill her.
Oh, you weren't there. When I went to her house, I told her about my week, how Veronica was, all the normal stuff one tells a mother when visiting. Now, Mama was very ill, very weak, but halfway through my conversation, she pulled herself over to where I was sitting, took a long breath in and said, "I hate you." Well, I lost it. It was all blur after that.
And you did the deed?
That's right, I did. She was an awful woman who had to be dealt with.
Well, what about the window?
Easy. It's all on floor level. I just went outside, punched it in while my fist was wrapped in a blanket, and ran away. Damn coppers had to show up and book me for it.
Why didn't you bring the abuse up ever before?
Well, it's not something you usually talk about in public circles, is it? I didn't want to force my problems on anyone else.
But why now your wife? Why turn the hate to her?
It's not hate. Far from it. More like safety. She just had to go and blab about my one little white lie. Them's the breaks, kid.
Garland raised the knife up. I aimed my piece at his hand and squeezed for all it was worth.
You're going to pay for that, you little!
I didn't let him finish. He took the punch incredibly well for such a runty man. I went to punch him again, but he rolled onto the floor. By the time I saw where he was, he'd retrieved the cleaver. I tried a repeat performance. That's why it's always important to load up your gun properly, kids.
Now you're mine.
He threw the cleaver at my head. I ducked, but not in time for the meat cleaver to miss completely. Aw, that was my favorite detective hat.
That's nothing. Wait till you see this.
He leaped at me, to which I responded with a casual sidestepping. His head rammed into the wall. I used this slight opportunity to run over and ungag Veronica.
Flynn, listen to me very carefully. We have bullets in the upstairs boudoir. Go, run, and get him before he comes back up.
I did what the woman said. Unfortunately, she neglected to tell me in which room the bullet boudoir was exactly. Let's see. No. Nope. Ooh, here we are. I was able to load up all six cylinders before I realized that. The bullets were out. Someone would have to have...
A gun! Oh! I've got one too.
I spun around to see Garland advancing toward me with a mini revolver in hand.
I didn't want to have to use it, but... Seeing as you're so gun-crazy, I figured I might as well even the playing field.
Garland and I pace around each other slowly, passing by an open bedroom window accented with billowing curtains. Nice effect.
Well, looks like this is the end for you, buddy.
You're forgetting one thing.
And what's that?
Garland was standing parallel with the window now. I still have the upper hand.
That's supposed to be a you-shot-me-in-the-hand joke?
Yes. Yes, it is. I took a shot. Non-fatal, mind you. Which had enough force to knock Garland backwards, through the window and onto the ground the story below. This guy had a bum rap. A mother who didn't love him that he pined after. Couldn't even be truly happy with that beauty of a wife he had. Too bad it had to end the way it did. Sure enough, just after the big conflict ended, the boys in blue showed up. They documented the scene, took care of Garland's... yeah, and comforted his now widow. I went up to talk to her. Hey, how are you holding up?
I don't know. Do you have any idea what it's like to be threatened by someone you love?
No, but I do know how it feels to lose someone you love. Fairly recently, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah. In fact, before I could even process what was happening, Verona had reached out her arms and drew me in for a kiss. I didn't know if it was the mourning or the common ground of losing a loved one, but I didn't mind it. I'll tell you that much. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Look, shot in the dark, but you want to go see a movie?
Not really.
Oh. All right.
Let's go to a bar.
I'm in love all over again.
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, The Misguided Matron, was written by Lucas Tomasacci. Our cast today was Brandy George as Deborah and Officer Spinoza, Christopher Gatpo as Commissioner Rogers, Sir Percival, and Ben. Samuel Groom as Garland Predatelli. DJ Nat as Harry Flynn. Drake Nestor as D.A. Murdoch, Commercial Announcer, and Ted. And Lucas Tomasacci as Announcer, Officer Spinelli, and Nerd. Special guest star Kara Medwick as Veronica Predatelli and Housewife. Theme for The Adventures of Harry Flynn composed by Michael Wall and David Tomasacci, as performed by Michael Wall on piano, drums, and trumpet, Terence Karn on accordion, and Luis Obregon on viola, with sound engineering by Michael Wall. Can't get enough Harry Flynn? Log on to www.harryflynn.wikia.com or find us on Facebook for all your Harry Flynn-related needs, including MP3s of previous episodes.